Well, I want to welcome all of you here in this room in Chula Vista. Yeah, thank you very much. And for those of you out on the patio, hi, and online, glad that you are with us. And then we're going to, we're using this at all of our churches. And so welcome to all of you, in whether you're here in Chula Vista or whether you are in IB or La Jolla or Tijuana or Salt Lake City or Venice Beach or Temecula, La Jolla, all of them. So glad that you're participating with us. Now, maybe you're either in this room or at one of those churches and it's your first time. That can be a little weird. That can be a little weird to go into a church for the first time. I got invited to church, and the first time I went into a church after many years of not being in any church. And, I was just 17-year-old pothead, and my buddy invited me to church. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'll go. And I remember walking in there, and it felt like I walked into a different planet. It wasn't that they were all that strange, but it was just something I had never experienced. It wasn't the kind of church that I was used to from my past, It was very, that church was, we knew what was going to happen at each time. The mass was this long, it was this thing, you said this at the end. I understood that. This was a little wilder, a little more Pentecostal. And so I was sort of hanging back. I wasn't sure about this. And it was a revival that I'd been invited to. It was a revival. I didn't know what that was. And I'm standing in the back, and I was so uncomfortable and so high. And I'm standing there, and then this kid that I kind of recognized from school walked up to me. He's a church kid, dork kid. And he walked and stands right in front of me and goes, "What are you doing here?" And I'm thinking, I don't know, but I'm not going to remain, I'll tell you that. I started looking for an exit. At about that time, the buddy who had invited me walked up and said, there you are, grabs me, goes, "We're sitting over here." And so now I'm seated. And I was like outsider all the way, didn't understand a lot of what was going on, but I opened my heart to Jesus that night, and everything changed for me. But it was right there on the edge of, I don't really fit with these people. I'm not probably a good person to be in this kind of environment. And everything changed because of a welcome and a inclusion. Everything changed. But I was the outsider. And what does that look like if you have ever felt that? Well, that's why we do church. Here's the big idea: to fulfill Jesus' mission. That's what we're about, to fulfill the mission of Jesus. And as a reminder, one last time in this series, our theme verse is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And so one last time with our outside voices, if you're outside, really, really outside voices, let's read this together. Ready, go. Let us consider how to, that is so weak. I could hear online people more, okay? Let's try this again. Ready? Go. Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of His return approaches. Well, a community of people who are loving one another, encouraging one another, and doing good stuff in the world. That is inspiring if you're a Jesus follower, but it is also attractive to someone who might feel like they're outside of that community. Love, encouragement, and good stuff. Doing good in the world. Those are all things that, I could be into that. I could be up for that. But in all of our communities, in all of our churches, I'll tell you something that most people don't believe that live in any of these communities. They don't believe that for the challenges that they're facing, for the doubts that they have, They don't believe that the church has any real answers for them. They don't think, well, I'll go to the church and find out if they can help me, if there's answers to these questions. And the reason is that we so easily get off track of the primary mission of Jesus. And we get sidetracked into all kinds of other things. When the mission of Jesus is lost, we lose sight of it, the world looks elsewhere for answers. The church can be sort of like this bunker mentality. You know, we just have to hang in there and stay strong and be close and stay away from that battle world. And we don't want to act like them or look like them or be like them, at least on Sunday. And so if everybody's got that mindset, then everybody's going, yeah, that's who we are. This is who we are. This is what I believe. This is how I live. And we all end up having to pretend because none of us can pull it off. It matters because Jesus is the hope of the world and his church is plan A. Plan A to do what? To be dispensers of hope and grace, of love and acceptance, of righteous deeds in this world. We cease to do that when we turn inward and focus primarily on ourselves and our own preferences and what we want and how we want it. Safety, security, and conformity become the goal when church heads that direction. That inward focus is debilitating. And as soon as a church goes inward like that, it begins to get weird. You know, like that aunt of yours who doesn't ever want to leave the house, but she just gets weirder and weirder and starts to smell. And that's what happens to churches as well. Sharing this good news, extending grace to everyone, that's the point. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. The East Lake Church movement is people helping people find and follow Jesus. And when we make some assumptions. We make assumptions about the people in this world. And here's the big assumption. We assume everyone wants to connect with God. Everyone wants to have a fruitful and a fulfilling and a meaningful life. But often, we're just going about it in a way that's never going to produce that. And so our job is to help them be connected to this God who loves them, not just point out all the reasons that God might not want to connect with them. That's not the point. And it's a biblical basis because the Bible teaches that God has planted eternity in every heart. He's planted that desire in every human heart. We're on solid ground. But church quickly can create a culture unto itself where, okay, in our church, we all talk like this and dress like this and think like this and act like this. And so if you want to be a part of it, you've got to do the same. Well, the early church had to quickly adapt from a monocultural environment to a multicultural environment. When this whole thing began, everyone was Jewish. Everybody was Jewish that was in this church. As a matter of fact, they all had the same customs, same language. They met in the same facilities. They were used to the synagogue. They knew how things worked. But in Acts chapter 2, several thousand people come to Jesus on the same day. And it's like, boom, all of a sudden, it's mega church. Six flags over Jerusalem. It was just bang. And then it spreads throughout the world quickly. It just is this amazing process of the birth of the church. And very soon, certain assumptions start rolling. And the church kind of gets in the way of itself. And they start thinking, well, wait. You know, be careful about that. You're coming to Jesus. Yeah, but you know what you really need to do is you need to become Jewish first. And then you can become a Christian. But you have to cross through all of this that we had to go through. So, you know, if I had to go through it, you should have to go through it too. And they began to make this the rule. And they got in the way. Well, meanwhile, you got a guy named Paul. And he's this rogue apostle who's going all throughout the Gentile world, which is the Gentile world was any part of the world that wasn't Jewish. And he's just telling about Jesus, he and a couple buddies, and people are responding. They are coming to Christ in incredible numbers, and it's just exploding. But meanwhile, back at headquarters in Jerusalem, you've got this one group, these Jesus followers who were Pharisees. And you know, they were Christians, but they were still jerks. That can happen. Don't look right or left. And the Gentiles who don't know anything about Judaism are embracing Christ. And the Pharisees are deciding, no. Wait. You got to become Jewish first. You got to start there. And already the insiders are making it difficult for the outsiders that want to connect with God. You know, it can happen. We can make it difficult. Any of us can do that. You know, it's like, I'm going to park in this spot because I know when I park in this spot that when they dismiss, I got the pattern and you can get out quick. Well, I sit here because at just this point, I find that that's the easiest way to get out, to get to the kid. Well, and I check in at this thing because that kiosk works really well, and I like that person checks my kid in because they are on it. And it's, you know, we know how to navigate all this, and we don't necessarily give much thought over time to being aware of maybe that person who's looks a little lost. Hey, can I help you? Can I point in the right direction? Here, let me walk with you too. See, we got ours. And so that's enough because we got enough on our plate anyway. We put a lot of emphasis on trying to help the newest people to feel welcome when they show up here. But over time, we can all start to kind of focus in a bit. Well, why are they telling me to park over there? I don't want to park over there. I want to park over there. Well, I don't want to sit there, usher. I want to sit over there. This is super important stuff. And why is only that door open and that door is closed? I want to go through that door, not that door. I would have to walk all the way across. It's ridiculous. Focused in. I received an email, anonymous email, shortly, a couple months after we opened this particular facility here. And it was normally when we get an anonymous note or an email, we burn it as an offering to the Lord. Because we assume, well, we know, the Holy Spirit is not leading anybody to bitch anonymously. And so we know it's the devil. But this one was just too good, so they forwarded it to me. And they said in this email, been coming to church for a long time, but now we're in this new facility and there's all these new people. When is enough enough? So I read on. The parking has not been as organized as it could have been, and the children's facility check-in is, there's just a lot of bugs in the system still, in this new check-in system, and so we're being held up in the parking lot, and then it's taking longer, the children's check-in, and then when we come to find our seat, someone else has taken our preferred seating. And they gave a number of recommendations, said, now, there's several of us that feel this way. And we're going to be watching over the next several weeks to see if you make these changes. We'll decide whether we stay or go. And so I got that on Friday, and then I read it to everybody on the weekend. And I said, now, obviously, this is a big deal, and I know that there's many of you that were a part of this email. And so I just want to give you some options. And there's eight of them, and they're all marked with an exit sign. And I encourage you to use one of them and make it a one-way trip. Because the day that we decide to just focus on us and make sure all of us insiders are comfortable. Just bury my rear end on the back 40 here. I don't want to be a part of that church. And I don't think you do either. All of a sudden, insiders want to make it difficult for the outsider because we want to be more comfortable. See, this is the illustration. The church is kind of like this ladder, or the ladder is kind of like this church, right? And so you've got, you know, this thing, this entity, this organization, and you want to invite people in. Hey, come on in. So you take that first step and you show up at a church service. Come on in. Everyone welcome. Yeah, even you. Come on, let's go. Everybody's welcome. Come on in, come on in. But as we focus inward, what can happen is we go, get to know you a little bit. Oh, wait a second. Before you go any further in the church, you voted for who? That's not really how we vote here, okay? 2018, let's pick it up a little. All right, kind of not how we do it. So it's a little more difficult to continue to move into this church thing. Oh, hey, you don't believe everything we believe, how we believe it? You know, before that next membership class, you're going to want to get all that straight. Because this is how we believe everything we believe, and we want you to believe it as well, just like we do. No room to process, no room to think through it. We'll just tell you what to believe, and you believe it. Oh, we're getting to know you a little better. You got some nasty habits. Okay? Now, we don't have those habits in this church, all right? Now, I know some people do, but at least we hide them. Okay? You know, you just got to hide it a little better in the future. Because those are not the nasty habits that we embrace around here. And so what happens is over time, it's like, well, yeah, everyone come on in, but you don't really get to fit in. Because you can't get to where we live. The pure, the righteous, the wonderful. That's, we inhabit this zone. And so you're going to have to make a bit of a leap to get there. Because there's some things in the way. You see how insiders, outsiders, how difficult we can make it. The church has been getting in the way of people who are wanting to connect with God since the whole thing kicked off. It's been a problem from the get-go. And removing those lower steps, we can start to think, oh, we're more righteous. Our church, we're committed. We're committed to righteousness. And we're really just getting in the way of what God is up to. Now, Paul and Barnabas are these two guys that are out sharing this good news, making Jesus accessible to everybody. But then another group from the home office is saying, wait. Paul, Barnabas, all these Gentiles are coming to Christ, but you've got to change some things, okay? You have to make sure they understand certain rules. They had identified yet another one of these that needed to be corrected. Acts 15, verse 1, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. One more little thing, fellas. I'm glad you're with us, but there's a little surgery. Okay, just nothing radical, just a little nip, little tuck. And then you can be one of us. Ooh. Got to become Jewish. Adhere to the whole law. And then possibly we can pull you up to where we live. Verse 2. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and a debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, why they call it a party, these folks never party, the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. So Paul, we want you to go back. And you go back and you tell them they've got to do this stuff. And Paul didn't want to do it. Hey, I'm back. I've got some good news and some bad news. Yes, you can be part of the church. But you're going to have a little surgery. He didn't want to do it. Verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. They were in immediately, without having to go through the Jewish ceremonies, without having to go through all that was required by the law. They were just accepted, forgiven. The obstacle that's being established is being established by the church. And a lot of churches are like this ladder. We want to be safe from that bad old world. You know, there's people out there that are different from us. I'm not kidding. And so we want to make sure that our group, that we're all in lockstep together. That we're all on the same page. But, number two, East Lake Church Movement seeks to remove the obstacles keeping people from Jesus. That's what we're about. And we want to make sure that wherever you are in your journey, wherever you find yourself on this journey, that we just want to keep pointing you to Jesus, keep helping you to connect to God, and let you work out your stuff at the pace that the Holy Spirit is leading you. Verse 10, Peter continues. He says, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. When we make it difficult for people who are wanting to connect with God, we're actually testing God. We're working against God when we do that. Jesus said, I'm here to seek and save that which is lost. But this bunker mentality church says we're here to protect who's already found. That's our main goal. And this can make some Christians really, really nervous. It can. You know, you might have to rub shoulders with some jacked up people. I don't know how to break this to you. They're in your row. Look. Yeah. If you don't see anybody, it's you. Okay? All right? That's just the way it is. Most people don't really know what even goes on inside a church. And you know, the biggest fear for someone, if you're here for the first time, one of the biggest fears that people have coming in is, will they make me talk? Or ask me questions, you know, that you know, I don't know the answer to the question that they're trying to ask me. And that can be, to say intimidating would be probably a real light word in that process. To come in and then have somebody get in your face and say, like, what are you doing here? Like, are we really lowering the bar that far that now you get to come in? Are you kidding me? I don't think that's good. Maybe we need to rethink the rules here. Maybe I need to reconsider just who it is that we've decided to let into this place. Do you qualify? Are you good enough? Smart enough? Do people like you? Wow. Those are hard questions. Because, you know, how would you feel if you showed up here for the first time? And I said, yes. Yes, stand. How do you feel about the miracle of transubstantiation? And what is your eschatological position? Do you tithe? Are you sexually active? You know, these are probably not, you know, questions you'd want to be asked in that kind of an environment. The obstacles that we place in the way can look spiritual and deep, when in fact they're just obstacles. We're keeping people from God. Peter said, we haven't been able to keep these rules. Why are we trying to put it on them to now keep these rules? And then James, the brother of Jesus, he says this in verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. I love that. Let's not make it difficult. Let's not put things in the way. Let's just help them connect to God. Don't make it difficult. So that everybody who's turning to God, well, we'll say things like this. Hey, we're so welcome. Glad that you're here. And we really don't tell you who to vote for. You have to figure that out. You figure that one out on your own. Oh, and by the way, you can belong before you believe. And as you're working out what you believe to be right and true, we're going to just continue to look to God, open His Word together, and let it examine us rather than us examine it. And we want to line up as best we can with what that is. But while you're in that process of making that discovery, keep coming. Oh, yeah. And those nasty habits. Those nasty habits don't go away by pretending you don't have them. And they may take time. And there may be a process where you take two steps forward and one step back. And, you know, so glad that you're here. So glad that you're with us while you're figuring that out. You see, these are the kinds of things that will keep people from God, and we think we're just being more righteous. And the church gets in the way. Oh, yeah, no surgery. That's good news. It's my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. We assume people want to connect, so our job is to help them in this process. Don't put things in the way. Remove the obstacles that are keeping them. Now, in Acts 15, the early church has this huge decision that they're making. They're at a crossroads. And what they're deciding is, are we going to be more focused on who we're trying to keep or who we're trying to reach? And I want to suggest something. That the day a church becomes more focused on who they're trying to keep happy in their church rather than who they're trying to reach who are outside the church, that's the day that church begins to die. Verse 30. The men were sent off, went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad there would be no surgery. Every week, people are coming to one of our churches and making their own connection with Jesus. And in that process, it doesn't mean that we expect everyone to think like we think, have no issues in their life. We're all jacked up. We just tend to do it differently. And you know, you never know where someone's coming from when they show up. They might not have been to church for a decade, and they received an invitation from somebody. They say, all right, I'm going to give this church thing one more shot. So your response to them, their observation of you could make the difference of whether they think this Jesus thing might be right, because these are people who love and encourage and are doing good. Or it could go the other direction. I more than one time, I've had somebody talk to me before the service, say, hey, Mike, hey, I brought my neighbor. They haven't been to church in years. I've been inviting them, and they came with me today. Don't suck. Just don't embarrass me today, Mike. I am so proud of this environment, this welcoming, accepting environment. And that's really where we land with number three. The East Lake Church movement believes that every member is a minister. Every person is a priest, and all of us are to be on this Jesus mission. Oh, that sounds kind of daunting. Well, what's that? What's the Jesus mission? Help people find and follow Jesus. Here's some context. John 1. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We've found the Messiah." Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. It's that simple. It's that simple. Get to know Jesus and help others make their own connection with Jesus. You might even have someone in mind. Say, yeah, this is the person, and I would love to see that happen for. And they're a million miles from God. Well, one of the things we say around here is that Jesus is just a half turn away. You might feel like you're far, far from him, but he's right there, just waiting for you to make that turn and say, I'm open. Help me, forgive me. Start this healing process in me. Jesus will be right there. And you see, when we all do that together, why church? What we'll find is there's a decision that you have to make. Do you want to attend a great church, or do you want to help make a church great? And all of us on mission make the difference. What's your next right step in this process? Glad you asked. If you look on the back of this card on the left side, this week I will. Maybe it's include someone in your life, in this part of your life. Or maybe for some of you, it's opening your heart to Jesus or really returning, getting back on track. If you check either of those boxes, we would love to send you some, email you some resources that will help you in the journey that you're on. Would you pray with me? Lord, we love you. We're learning to love you more. And I thank you for your patience. And thank you for the honor that it is that we've been invited to share in this great mission. Help us, Lord, not to get sidetracked or just so self-focused that we miss what you're doing in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.